Surprisingly, there are many debates and disagreements in the church realm today concerning the blood. Even in evangelical churches, let me rephrase that. Even in some so-called evangelical churches, people are being divided about the blood. Let me say this, the reason why I wanted to rephrase that. You can't be an evangelistic church if you don't believe in the blood. Amen? I am and always will be standing on the belief that it's the blood that was shed by our Lord Jesus Christ to meet every individual's need. The blood today, without it, we would all be lost. Without the blood today, we would be bound for hell. But it was because of one individual whose name was Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, that died on an old rugged cross and shed his blood for every individual under the sound of my voice. Without the blood, we would be hopeless. Without the blood this morning, we would be most miserable. But I am so thankful for the blood. And I want us to look this morning what the blood of Jesus does. You probably hear me say this every Sunday, but that's what the purpose of the church is. That's what the message about the blood is, that the blood of Jesus brings forgiveness to all mankind. Amen? There is no other way. And that's where the debate is today in the society. Sadly, that's the debatable subject that is in some churches, to the place where that they are being said, we don't want to hear anymore about the blood. But friend, let me tell us something. If we want our young people saved, we better be preaching and teaching the blood. If we want our family members saved, we had better be preaching and teaching about the blood. If you want everything in your life to come together, you better be in a place that is preaching and teaching about the blood of Jesus Christ for all mankind. It doesn't matter today who we are. It doesn't matter today what our name is. It doesn't matter what title is before or after our name. It takes the blood of Jesus to save mankind. I heard Tally teaching in here this morning, talking about how that the church has got to the place where that anymore that we have kind of watered down things in society and in the church world, and it's getting that way. God called me back in 1985. I got saved in October of 85. 2 weeks later, I was called to preach the word, not by man, but by God. And God called me to preach the blood of Jesus Christ. Today, all those years later, I'm still preaching about the blood of Jesus is what it takes to be saved. If you're here today and you say, well, I got saved by another way, then you're not saved. If you're watching this morning and you say, well, I didn't get saved by the blood, you're not saved. Because it was the blood of Jesus then, now, and forever that will be what it will take for people to be born again and saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I said it last Sunday, but it's worth repeating again. You're not saved by shaking the pastor's hand. You're not saved by joining the local church. You're not saved by your works and your deeds and your action. You're not saved by giving finances to the church. You're saved by the blood of Jesus. I've heard people say many times before, well, salvation is free. No, it's not. Somebody gave their life on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago, and his name was Jesus. That wasn't free. Oh, he gave it freely, but there was a cost to it. What was the cost? It was his life. And every time that there is a person that is born again, it still proves the blood is still flowing. 2,000 years later, the blood is still flowing. What happened on Golgotha's hills 2,000 years ago, the blood is still flowing. And it's still saving. Do you realize that there are people that never thought that you would get saved? You said, well, you're being judgmental. I'm just being truthful. There are people today that didn't think I would ever get saved. There are people that thought that I would never amount to anything. Can I tell you today, it's going to surprise some of you, but I was not the one that was chosen to be the most successful person out of my graduation class in high school. I know you find that hard to believe. There are some here this morning. You wasn't the one that they said, well, that's going to be the most successful person out of our graduation class. But I tell you what I have found out. The ones that are usually chosen to be the one that will probably be the most likely to succeed is the one that doesn't. Amen? Now, I know that there are some that have gone on to become great doctors. There have been some that have went on to become great scientists. There have been some that have gone on to be great superstar athletes. There have been some that have gone on that has won all kinds of awards in Hollywood. But you hear your pastor today. None of that will amount to anything in eternity. But what will matter is the blood of Jesus. You see, I remember where I was when I was in high school. I remember where I was as a teenager. I remember that I wasn't the most likely to succeed. I remember I was the one that was most likely to not be liked. Because of my attitude, because of the things that I was doing when I was young. But there was something about an individual that said, but yet I see something in him. One day, sitting on a back pew, when conviction got a hold of me, that someone said, come and follow me. And I came and I gave my heart to the Lord, and 2 weeks later was called into the ministry. Let me tell every young person and every adult in this building, and for those that are watching, it doesn't matter what society thinks about you, it's what God thinks about you. It's not what people says about you that is going to matter, it's what God says about you that is going to matter. It's about knowing that one day you're going to lay your head on your pillow and you may not wake up again, but to be absent from this body is to be present with Almighty God. It's about knowing that one day as you may be walking down the street and the trumpet of God sounds and the dead in Christ arise and we which are alive and remain are caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. How can that be? Because of the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Your money won't save you. Your car won't save you. Your job won't save you. Your name won't save you. The titles before or after your name won't save you. The church you attend won't save you. But God Almighty and the blood of Jesus will save you. It takes the blood. Look at that person beside and said, it takes the blood. The blood of Jesus brings forgiveness of our sins. He said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. But secondly, the blood of Jesus brings sanctification. Everybody say sanctification. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Now I'm going to shoot down some theologians' beliefs and church people's beliefs and say this: every person that gets saved is going to have times that the enemy is going to put them in bondage. Thank you for that one that said that's right. What are you saying today, Pastor? I'm saying this. God's blood can save, but there comes a time where the enemy's going to come and he's going to do everything he can to place you in bondage. You said, I don't believe that. Well, let me whisper two words to you, how that he does that to Christians. Depression and oppression. Amen? Notice I didn't say possession. The devil can't possess what belongs to God. I know there are books that are out called Pigs in the Parlor, but let me tell you, the pigs in the parlor is wrong. The devil cannot possess what belongs to God. There is more power in the blood of Jesus than there is in the power of Satan. But there will come times when we get to the place where the world and the things of this world will come and overtake us to the place that we get depressed. Well, if a person's depressed, they're not a child of God. If a person is saved, they shouldn't be oppressed. You'd be surprised how many people are sitting in this sanctuary today and is watching this broadcast that is battling depression, that is battling oppression. They're battling things that they put on a disguise to make it look like everything is okay. I was preaching a few weeks ago, and I don't know what the point was, but the Holy Spirit directed me to that part right there. And I said, there are too many times that we have come into the house of God, and everybody asks, well, how you doing? And we say, we're doing great. But deep down, we have put on a disguise. We have done everything we can to make it look like that everything is okay, but deep down, we're hurting. And if I was a betting person, and I'm not, but if I were, I could bet this morning that there are people today, right now, under the sound of my voice, that is in depression or in oppression, and they have put on a disguise to say everything is okay. Now let me tell you a reason why they do that. Let me rephrase that. Let me tell you why we do that. Because we have too many people that are self-righteous that says simply this: if you're depressed or oppressed, you've got a problem between you and God. If you're depressed or oppressed, or if you're even sick, there's sin in your life. But let me tell us something. There have been times that every individual that is a child of God has walked exactly in that person's shoes. And if they're today saying, well, they've got a problem between them and their relationship with God, I'll guarantee you that there's going to come a time when you're going to have to do one thing. Walk in my shoes. We've all been there, friend. And because we've been there, or maybe because we're there now, does not make us any less of a Christian. But were that we come to that place of depression and oppression is this. And this is where I can't understand why the people wants to turn their back on God after they've had a relationship with Him is simply this. Because the blood of Jesus will bring you through.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord.
Sanctification. Some people will tell you today, and I disagree with them, that drug addiction is a sickness. That alcoholism is a sickness. I don't believe that. I believe it is a bondage. I believe that it is a spirit, it's a demon that controls them. But hear me today. There have been many people that have gotten saved that have been delivered from drug addiction, that has been delivered from alcoholism, but today they have something else that is controlling their life. But hear your pastor today. The same God that delivered you from depression and oppression can deliver you from that same spirit that is trying to control you today. Amen? Only you and God knows what that might be. And you said, well, how can I get victory over this problem? By the same blood that saved you is the same blood that will sanctify you. In other words, it's sanctification is where that we are delivered daily. Sanctification is not a one-time thing. Sanctification is progressive. It's a daily thing that has to go on in our life. Prove it, Pastor. How many has ever got up on a day that you had a song on your heart? Thank God. But how many has ever got up maybe the next day and you didn't have a song on your heart? You had an attitude that you knew wasn't of God? Amen? You said, I don't understand it, Pastor. I went to bed that night before and I had spiritual songs that was playing. I had wonderful music that was playing. I went to sleep. I was praising the Lord. Something happened this morning. I woke up and I didn't have a praise on my lips. And then I started to work. And I want you to know that no good ornery scalawag pulled right out in front of me. And I thought some bad things about them. Anybody ever been there? Not as many hands going up. You know what that's saying? You're not being truthful as you were the first time. Maybe it wasn't road rage that gripped you, but maybe it was something else. Maybe somebody just came and just started letting into you. They just started blasting you. You saw them when they were coming. Here came Miss Goody Two Shoes or Mr. Goody Two Shoes. Y'all may not have those words. That's from where I come from. Where they always look so uppity. And they think they're better than everybody else. They never do their job, but they're so quick to tell everybody else how to do their job. And the bad thing about it, Pastor, is this. They're not my boss.
That's right.
Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
And I'll just be honest with you, Pastor. I thought some things about them that I know was wrong. I felt the old person began to resurrect themselves. Anybody ever been there? Mm-hmm. We've all been there. When all of a sudden we thought that person that was dead, that got saved however many years ago it was, we began to feel that same spirit rising up within us to the place that we just wanted to tell them what we thought about them real quickly and in not a good Christian way. We've all been there. You may be trying to put that disguise on now. You may be having a John Cena moment right now saying, you don't see me. But I'm here to tell you, I see you. I've been there myself. I've been there when I thought, I can't take any more of that individual. Amen? And then the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to me and say, son, it's time to pray. And I have to pray. Let me tell you how we've got things over the Muslims. Besides, we've got a Savior that's alive. I can pray more than three times a day. Can I tell you something else? I don't have to go and get a piece of garment, put it in a certain direction wherever Mecca is, and get on that and bow my head. And I'm so thankful because I couldn't do it if I wanted to. Amen? But I can begin to pray going down the road. I can begin to pray wherever I'm at. I can pray in a supermarket. I can pray at a restaurant. I can pray when I'm having to go pay a certain bill. Whatever it is, I can pray. Amen? Why? Because of the price that was paid by Jesus Christ. And when I begin to pray, and when you begin to pray, you know what begins to move? The hand of God. I'm here to tell us something, friend. Our God, this Sunday morning, is not limited by His power, by His grace, by His mercy, but God will come down and touch His people and daily will sanctify them. Amen? So the blood of Jesus this morning, number one, brings forgiveness. Number two, it brings sanctification. Number three, it brings us access to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Think back, if you will, that in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament before Jesus shed His blood, you could only go so far. And that was as far as you could go. Because the one that could only go the far journey was the high priest. They were the one that could go into the Holy of Holies. They had to be pure. They had to be holy to enter into the Holy of Holies. Oh, but let's advance forward. But one day Jesus, hanging on a cross, paying the price for every one of us in this house, cried out, "It is finished." The Bible says He gave up the ghost. But I also read this. And the veil of the temple was rent in two, signifying that no longer did you go to a certain place and stop, but you can come boldly into the throne room of God. You can come boldly into the Holy of Holies. Amen. Every Sunday morning, every Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we can come boldly into the Holy of Holies. Well, the praise team isn't here to lead us Only one you need is you with the determination, I'm going to enter into the Holy of Holies. But you've got all these problems, but you can enter into the Holy of Holies. But my world is crumbling around me, but you can enter in boldly into the Holy of Holies. But the devil's fighting me, but you can enter boldly into the Holy of Holies. Amen? We don't have to stop. You may tell you who stops us from entering into the Holy of Holies. Take your finger and go like that. And then turn it. You know what it's pointing to? Us. Ourselves. We prevent ourselves from coming into the Holy of Holies. The devil doesn't have enough power to stop us. Why doesn't he have the power to stop us? The blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus, I can come boldly into the Holy of Holies. Fourthly today, the fourth thing about the blood of Jesus. Number one, it brings forgiveness of our sins. Two, sanctification. Three, access to God. Fourthly, daily forgiveness. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we shall have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleansed us from all sin. What are you saying? Daily. Everybody say daily. Say it again.
Daily.
Say it again.
Daily.
We need to come daily before God for forgiveness. Now, some denominations will teach you and will preach this to you. Once you ask the Lord to forgive you on the day that you got saved, that's it. You never have to ask God to forgive you again. How many will be honest with yourself and with God and say, you know, after I got saved, I've sinned. But you know what? Daily, I can come to him and I can say, Lord God, whatever I have done, whatever I have said, whatever actions I have done, that God, that even though that I may not know what I've done, but of yet, God, if there's any sin in my life, forgive me. Jesus was asked this one day by his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And he began to give the skeletal outline of prayer. And one of the things that he came to was, and forgive us this day. Forgive us this day. And I believe that every day, Lord, forgive me this day. I don't mind being transparent with you. Every night before I go to bed, many times throughout the day, Lord, if I've done anything, that God would, number one, cause me to miss heaven. Number two, that Lord, that would cause me to miss finding favor with you. Number three, that would cause me to miss having the anointing upon my life. God, forgive me. Now, I'm not ashamed to admit that before this body today. Because that is a prayer, part of that. I know your calling is not my calling, but every one of us today in this building should be praying some type of way of that prayer throughout the day and before we go to bed. You say, well, if I go to bed and go to sleep, I'll be all right. When I wake up the next day, one of my favorite actors passed away just a few weeks ago. Rocky, he was a specimen of good health. You looked at him, you thought, man, that guy, he's in great shape. He's got it together. In Hollywood, he went by the name, one of the main names, pretty much made his career, went by the name of Apollo Creed. Real name was Carl Weathers. Carl Weathers died in his sleep. There have been other famous people that have died in their sleep. There have been great athletes that have died in their sleep, but yet they looked like they were in perfect health. But hear your pastor today. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. When our time comes, our time's coming. Amen? And I believe that it is good for every one of us to every day to know that we know that we know. That when our eyes shut, if we never open up on this side of the earth again, that when they do open up, we're going to be in the presence of the King. Why? How'd that happen? The blood of Jesus. And I close with this. The fifth thing about the blood of Jesus, number one, it brings forgiveness of sin. Two, sanctification. Three, access to God. Four, daily forgiveness. Number five, healing. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I need healing in my body. Pastor Greg, does it make you mad that God hasn't healed you? No, sometimes it gets frustrating. Especially when I pray for people and I see them get healed and I'm still battling some issues. But you know what? If no person ever died, there would be nobody in heaven except the angels and God. But the Bible says that we all will one day stand before God. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. But I'm glad to know that if God doesn't heal me here, the greatest healing I will receive over there. Bishop DeVore, when he closed his eyes and he left this world, he entered into the presence of God. He wasn't healed here, but he was healed over there. There's all of us that have loved ones that we know that were saved. They passed away. They passed away from this world into the presence of God. I call it they received their promotion. They were promoted from this world into the presence of God. The ultimate promotion. And I want to ask every one of us, every young person, every adult that is under the sound of my voice today, where do you stand with God? Well, Pastor, I'll have another opportunity. You're not guaranteed that. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Well, Pastor, I'll have another opportunity to come into the house of God. You're not guaranteed that. But we are guaranteed one day we're going to stand before God. And we're going to be judged. Number one, by either the works that we have done since we got saved, or we're going to be judged and hear him say those words, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." And I want to challenge everybody in this building today and those that are watching, whether it's live now or whether you're going to be watching later on, where do you stand with God? Have you made preparation for the great day of judgment? If you haven't, you can find peace this morning. How, Pastor Greg? How can I find that peace? Through the blood of Jesus. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, I feel so strong in my spirit today that there are people that may be here or they're watching that, God, their relationship is not where it needs to be at. Some of them have put on disguises that they're serving you, but in reality, their heart is far from you. There are people today that, Lord God, they talk the talk, but the walk is completely different. And I pray today that, Lord, that this Sunday morning, February 18th, 2024, would be the day that somebody makes the decision to totally follow Christ. We can't try to hang on to this world and serve you. The Bible says, Lord God, that you can't serve two masters. And I pray today that people would sell out to you, that they would cry out and say, Lord God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. Wash me, save me by the blood of Jesus today. For that one that may be a Christian and they're struggling, God, they're going through some hard times, I pray that they would realize that because of the blood of Jesus, they can make it. God, your word said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you to the very end of the world. Help us to remember that, God, you're there with us, and you will bring us through. In the mighty name of Jesus, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and the church is praying. If you're here today, I don't care if you're a young person or an adult, and you would say, being honest with God and being honest with myself, I'm not where I need to be at with God, and today I want to make a change. Just lift up that hand to him. God bless that hand. Somebody else this morning, I would say, I'm not where I need to be at with God, but today I want to make a decision to follow him. Anyone else? Anyone else? Maybe you're here this morning and you're a child of God, but you said, Pastor Greg, I'm going through some hard times right now. There have been times that, Lord, I don't feel you. But this day, Pastor Greg, I want him to take control of the problem as I give it totally to him. Just raise that hand. God bless that hand. God bless that hand. God bless those hands going up around the building. Now I'm going to ask those that raised hands, and whatever the question was that you responded to come this morning to these pews, to these front chairs, to this altar, and bring the need to the Lord. Maybe you're here and you didn't respond to anything, but you said, but I just got to spend some time with him. Come on to the altar. Come on to the altar. Bring it all to him. Bring it all to him. Don't hold back. Give it all to him. God can't do anything if we just give him part of it, but God can turn your life around when you give it all to him. Will you come? Will you come this morning?